I want to talk now about science revisionism, which is an aspect of my website, which in my view is very important, but most of the people who are dealing with this stuff are not, don't have any science background, and they're not interested, and they can't sort of handle it. So this, I think, my, as far as I know, my site is still kind of unique in looking at this stuff, and I've discussed nuke revisionism already, or in a very scanty outline, but I've also got stuff on physics here, and it's called modern physics. As a fraud in modern physics, something like that. Modern physics being counted from about the 30s, 20s and 30s, that kind of thing, which incidentally was largely another Jewish thing, in the same way that psychology was largely a Jewish thing, Freud and so on. And I've included a few things there which are quite interesting. There's the speed of light at a limit, which is worth knowing about. They get this conclusion, it's a mistake, came from the, but you see, if you've got a bullet or something, obviously it's not going to go anywhere near the speed of light. So they switched to using particles. In a, this has been after in de particle detectors have been invented. You need either things which scintillate or things which will condense water. Anyway, once they invented these things, they tried accelerating particles through them. And using magnetism or an electromagnetic field to attract these particles, right? You've got an electron or something, and it goes faster if you accelerate it. And the more, but the trouble is, the more power you put in, this, these, the power, the electromagnetic field itself goes at the speed of light, you see. So no matter how much power you're going to put in, it's never going to get to the speed of light. It's like pulling something at a, with, at a 100 mile an hour thing. It's never going to get faster than 100 miles an hour. However, you know, however, it's not a very good parallel, but maybe you see the point I'm making. So all this stuff based on the speed of light is a mistake, and I've tried to write that out there. I don't know if, I think it's had some effect. I've seen people say, oh, they never thought of that. And there's another point about light which is worth mentioning, which is that it's biologically important to people. It's biological to us. You could look around, and of course it's your main sense for telling where you are. And it's a remarkable sense, you know, if you look at things, you can tell, you know, where they are, how much they cost, what color they are, what they like, what they weigh. It's a fantastic device when associated with the brain. I mean, it's far and away the most well-developed sight, a sense in people. But that's biological importance can be sort of, you know, you can get smuggled in. I mean, if people had evolved in total darkness, nobody would talk about the speed of light as being an important thing. You know, the fact that things, the sun, for example, is, I think it's 8 minutes behind the Earth. Although that's true, it's not that important. Nobody would deny that the sun was, has a fixed position, even if you can't see it directly straight away. And that leads up to the uncertainty principle, which of course has been the source of a whole load of bullshit. So I've tried to kind of put stuff in there to common sense-ify it a bit. There's another very interesting point which I got from a friend of mine called Phil Holland about cloud physics, which another which is why explains actually why weather forecasts are crap. He maintains, I think correctly, that clouds have been misunderstood. You know, you think of clouds, the natural way to look at them is as though they're like a sailing ship or something, which gets blown before the wind. But his he puts that the other way around. He thinks if you look at the way water vapor is held in air, it's got it's ionic, it's slightly charged. The water molecule is asymmetrical, so you can get chains of them. You can get formations of water vapor, and if that changes its structure, you get huge thermodynamic changes. I mean, over vast areas. So he maintains that as these things change shape, it causes wind. So clouds basically are one of the drivers of winds, not the other way around. And he's got a good lot of stuff on that. I haven't put that on actually. I left that deliberately to see if weather forecasters would say anything. Of course, they don't. They're only interested in collecting their money, basically. Anyway, that's some of the physics stuff on there. And it's all perfectly serious. There's no sort of bullshit in it. Incidentally, it's worth. There are some alternative physics people. There's a thing called the NPA, the Natural Philosophy Alliance, I think it stands for. And there we are. It's a perfect example, perfect chance for them looking at nukes, for them to show how brilliant they are and show that nukes must exist. Because they say nothing. There's a general rule of these things. They get people get you get people who are exasperated, you get a huge response, like a knee jerk, you know. And then when they see you're serious, they go quiet because they can't answer. That's a general pattern. Anyway, so the natural philosophy of answers is a waste of time. Now, anyway, the next thing is biology, and this is all to do with, or very largely to do with, a friend of mine who unfortunately has now died, who was actually a Jew as well, or thought he was a Jew, called Hillman, Harold Hillman. I've got an interview with him on my website, which I did about 20 years ago now. Before, incidentally, before I knew that the Holo hoax was a fraud, and before I knew nukes were a fraud. Anybody who's interested in biology, a doctor or researcher, ought to listen to it. It goes into why the techniques are wrong, and I'll just mention one of them. The easiest one to understand is electron microscopy, and you're invited to assume with electron microscopy that they get a sample and they sort of stick it under the electron microscope, and there's an image which is just like a light microscope, only, you know, bigger. But that's actually not the case. The electron microscope of that type is where it has to have a vacuum. It's a bit like a cathode ray tube. You have to have a vacuum, and it has to be dried out, otherwise it will explode because the thing heats up under these electrons, under the electron gun. So they dehydrate it, and they have to soak it with heavy metals as well to make the things show up under what's more or less like X-rays. So it's soaked with these things, it's dehydrated, it's put into plastic and cut thinly. So it's full of what are called artifacts. In other words, there are things in the image which are not in the original. And if you look up any textbook of cell biology, it'll show you a diagram of the livings of a cell, and there's a sort of round thing with a nucleus, and it shows all these striations inside. There's supposed to be a network inside, and that is all bullshit, I promise you. It's caused by misreading electron microscopes, and consequently, they've got a whole lot of things derived from that, which are a mistake. And in fact, it's an interesting point here that some creationists are actually right here. They think they find and they say that there are sort of devices, there are chemical things, or whatever, which could not have evolved. This is what the creationists say. They couldn't have evolved, and they're probably right. They couldn't have evolved. But people like Dawkins hasn't understood this stuff, despite being supposedly a popularizer of science. So he just doesn't say anything. You know, he takes the coward's way out. Anyway, so that's quite important. That's just one of the items. If anybody's interested in this, look on my website, look on the stuff about Harold Hillman and biology, and read it through. Unfortunately, it's too much to go into here, but it's all completely serious. It's absolutely on the button. And I suspect the reason it has not been brought up is because it's entirely possible that the cell is so small that, despite all this stuff about science advancing, that these people have not been able to think of a better technique. In other words, they keep doing this stuff because they haven't got anything better. And it is possible that the techniques needed, if they exist at all, are a matter of patient observation and real-life observation. And if that's the case, then they're wasting their time. And it is also possible that India or China might go ahead, might pull ahead by rejecting all this stuff and devising stuff of their own. In fact, now I come to think of it, there's a chap called Gilbert Ling. I'm not sure if he's still alive. I suspect possibly not. But Gilbert Ling had his own alternative theories, which are on a similar line to Hillman. Although, unfortunately, I don't think he's a wonderful writer. I think some of his stuff is. I criticised him online. He got a bit worked up about it. So I don't know. Anyway, that's biology. Another thing, of course, with involving Jews is psychology. I mean, Freud has been pretty much kind of demolished, but there are other similar things like brainwashing. There's a connection with Korea. The idea about brainwashing started in Korea, and in my view, this was a deliberate cover-up by Jews of American war crimes in Korea. They had to pretend that these U.S. people were complaining were loonies, and so they invented brainwashing as something carried out by the horrible Chinese. And there's similar things with Milgram's experiment is obviously a bunch of bullshit. this, you know, ADHD, all these things are kind of Jewish money-making schemes. So there's a lot of stuff there, which it's on my website. There's so many topics. Some of them I've looked at on a single issue basis. There's AIDS. I mean, I've known AIDS as a fraud for very long. I've put some stuff on my website about it, which I think is still quite good. It reads quite well, including the fact that in Africa you get a lot of these people have blood diseases. They have infections with things like malaria and various flies and biting insects of all kinds, not to mention, you know, abrasion, injuries, that kind of thing. And all this shows positive on tests, so-called tests for AIDS, although the AIDS tests are not. They look for proteins. They're not reliable tests. I mean, everybody knows this in the industry. It's just they're keeping it going as just a money-making scheme. Another issue is immunology, and I haven't written on this yet. This is another one of Hillman's things. But immunology relies on the idea of surface receptors, the idea that there are receptors in cells. And Hillman has produced good evidence that this is all bullshit. The cell surface is pretty much flat. There's no room for receptors. The receptor theory is wrong. So they're barking up the wrong tree. And again, it's a money-making thing. And I've also got a few other things. I've got diet and lung cancer. I've got a link with that, which has been known since the 50s, I think, that some fats are better for you than others. Like the evening primrose oil is based on sound principles. I've got a tape recording I made of the ethanol chap, essential fatty acid molecules chap. So that's interesting. That's worth knowing about. There's another one here is about salt, ordinary common table salt, which was initially emailed to me by a chap called Frank McManus, who's Australian. He actually manufactures salt, so he could be accused of having his own bias. But he makes this salt, crystalline salt, sea salt. And that's a good thing. The point about that is that people talk about sodium and sodium channels, which in my view, again, are bullshit. But the point about sodium is that it's got chloride in it, it's sodium chloride, and the stomach contains hydrochloric acid, and the only way you can get that is from salt. So salt is actually absolutely essential. And it's essential in health, and if you cut back on your salt intake, you're going to render yourself liable to diseases of the sort which are taken in with food. So anyway, there's also a thing about climate change. All these things. This was the thing I recorded in 1997. I think it was a chap called John Mason at Kew Gardens in London. When I at the time I lived near there, a masterpiece of a talk. I'd recommend it if you're interested in climate change and the bullshit and the way it was originally started by very crap computer models. I mean, these are computer models 20 years more 25 years ago when they were not a fraction of what they are now. So that's interesting. And there are another things, organophosphates, that's an insecticide thing, which is another depressing thing to connect it up with BSE. And at the time, they had a public inquiry. At the time, I didn't know anything about this sort of stuff, but again, that was headed by a Jew, Krebs, it doesn't matter who. And at the time, I had no idea that there was a Jewish link, but nowadays, I'd be perfectly happy that his job was to pretend that there was no connection with beef, because they used organophosphate on the insecticides on some cows, which were in a region infested with warble flies in Britain. It's not everywhere in Britain, just some of it. And all the areas that had warble flies were treated with the stuff. And of course, they were all, it damaged them. They had mental, you know, diseases. And in fact, I suspect that a lot of brain disease in people are going to be caused by these things. Of course, they're very anxious that this should not be generally accepted or generally known about. So if you read about dementia, it's perfectly possible it's caused by things like organophosphates, by poisons which have had a slow effect on people. There's also, I've got material on fluoride. I've also got material on evolution. The Alfred Russel Wallace was as a precursor of Darwin. He got the idea, which Darwin basically plagiarized, although that's perhaps not that important. And I'd like to discuss evolution with people who are anti-evolutionists. It is rather a shame that they don't seem to be able to grasp the issue of it. But anyway, there are these single issue things, and I've got a piece called Science Revisionism on my website, and it's my own personal experiences going over for about 25 years, which start with a chap called Ivor Catt, who was actually very helpful to me. He had a list of people who were science revisionists, some good, some not so good, and he was very valuable to me. He's, in my view, he's kind of got a bit stuck on his own sort of plateau, but in fairness, he's had a lot of effect on me. There's a moon landing and 9/11. Basically, for personal reasons, I was splitting up with somebody at the time. I just didn't have any time to pay attention. But generally, all the sceptics are right there. Anyway, so that's science revisionism. I'd